He's got a beautiful backswing.
Dad, oh, he got all of that one.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the 73rd hole. Colby Powell, Taylor Williams, coming at you. 3M Open this past weekend. Also, Price Cutter Charity Championship in Springfield, Missouri. Local guy Max McGreevy gets his first win on the Corn Ferry Tour there, so we will break that down for sure. Taylor Moore, friend of the show, top five on the Corn Ferry Tour as well. Taylor Gooch with a good performance this week. Ton of Oklahoma State guys in the top 20 at the 3M. So a lot to get to today. Everybody find us on social media. Search 73rd Hole on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Best place to find the links to this podcast as soon as they are published. We're doing this today. We've got our preview show for the WGC FedEx in Memphis. That'll be coming out tomorrow on Tuesday morning. So look for all that as we get you ready for a couple of big events the next 2 weeks coming off of the 3M Open. And later on in the show, we'll tell you how I did at Bushwood Friday night in the glow-in-the-dark scramble, and then how the junior camp is going that Taylor's helping out with this week at Bushwood. Might have to fight a little weather as we're going to be dealing with some rain this week in the state of Oklahoma. Taylor, big day for Michael Thompson. He played some really good golf, 7 years in between wins for Michael Thompson. Gets him into the PGA next week, gets him into Wingfoot. Adam Long makes the cut on the number. He's into Wingfoot after 63-64 on the weekend. So we talked about last week that this could be a tournament that you see has kind of, you know, Adam Long won last year on the tour, so he was exempt. But Michael Thompson, it's been a long time since he's won. This is a life-changing deal for Michael Thompson. He's got a job for 2 years. He's in the major championships. He's playing really good golf. So, you know, I was rooting for the Oklahoma State guys down the stretch, but Michael Thompson's a really good story. It was nice to see him play good golf.
Yeah, we definitely had some things to get to. You mentioned the local feel. We had a lot of local guys who played really well this week. That was excellent to see. And one of the other great things, you mentioned Michael Thompson, how long it's been since he won. And for anyone who saw the post-round interview when he was on the green with Amanda Baliones, you could just tell the emotion that he had with that win and how much it meant to him. And
it for hit
his,
him.
It did. It was even something that big, obviously, but you can, it's almost so surreal in the moment that you can't process it. But as soon as he made that putt, you could just tell that he just knew that he had job security like they were talking about. And that's so monumental, because like we've talked about with so many guests that we've had on, you know, essentially 125 people have a job each year. And even if you don't finish in the top 125, like for example, Michael Thompson, if he has a bad year next year, still has another year out there because he has this win. So it gives him a little bit of cushion, say if he has a family emergency or just, you know, gets an injury, something like that, and they have medical
things. Or just starts to lose his game a little bit. You know, I mentioned Oklahoma State Cowboys, guy like Kevin Tway wins the 2018 Safeway, 2 years worth of exemptions. His game kind of faltered off a little bit, but he still has just a little bit of time to find it before his 2 year exemption runs out. So, I mean, that's huge. Huge for these guys to be able to get in these events for 2 years.
Yeah, and to be able to have the job security, I think, is really number one for these guys to make sure that they're able to keep out there and stay and play and be able to get in the tournaments that they want to. And then even for someone like Michael Thompson, it's great that he's going to – he mentioned that Wingfoot was his favorite golf course of all time because that's where he played his first U.S. amateur at. So that's really cool for him to be able to get back there and play, and I really hope that he plays well. I think that would be a super cool story. And then he's getting in the Masters, which I think, you know, that's
now,
almost like
does he get in November's Masters or April's Masters?
That is a fair question.
I think he gets in April's Masters, and I would actually need to look this up. I heard him talking about it on PGA Tour radio earlier today, but I was going through the drive-thru and I had a phone call, and so I was in and out on the conversation. But I think that because the November Masters, it's going to be the field that was set in April. So I think that Michael Thompson will actually be in the April Masters, not the November Masters.
So essentially what it would be right when the Bay Hill cutoff was the last event. So all the guys that were exempt up to that point would be in the November Masters, and then everyone that's won since the comeback would be in. But a lot of the guys that have won would already be in anyway because they're top how many ever in the world. We've had a lot of winners like Rahm and Morikawa who are top 25 or top 15 in the world at worst. So a lot of those guys are already exempt into there. So, but that is a fair question, Colby, and something I hadn't even really thought about. So if we come up with any answers on that, we'll definitely let you.
I found it. I just Googled it. The Augusta Chronicle says, so he secured a spot in the PGA Championship, the U.S. Open, and next year's Masters.
Okay.
So field already set. And that makes sense because, you know, the Masters is limited field size, and obviously they're letting all the guys who are already in the field in. So it'd be weird to now expand your field size to let these new winners in a Masters that was supposed to be played in April. So Michael Thompson will be in the April Masters, not the November Masters. But still, Harding Park next week, Wingfoot in September, third weekend in September?
I think so.
And then he'll be in the Masters in April. So really cool stuff for Michael Thompson, who now, by the way, has twice as many career PGA Tour victories as one Tony Finau.
That is, man, that is another storyline we have to get to there. And it's, you know, you kind of been a bigger Tony Finau, where he be now, hater than I have been. I like his game, and I think he has a lot of potential.
Tony Finau, but 30 top 10s in the last couple of years with no wins is... Ooh, that's a lot.
It's a lot to muster, and there's a lot of different ways you can do it. You can backdoor those, or you can be up by. That's kind of what we were seeing throughout his career, where he a lot of times wasn't really at the top of the leaderboard, but just would play good golf and some, you know, finish 8th or 9th or 10th or whatever it may be. But over the last year and a half specifically, I mean, he finished 2nd or 3rd at Shinnecock U.S. Open a few years ago, so he's able to compete in these big tournaments.
He had a top 10 at the Masters the year he popped his ankle out of its socket.
Yeah. That was a big storyline. Yeah, because he didn't even think he was going to play.
He finished like T8 that year.
Yeah, if it's something really. Yeah, I mean, definitely made the cut and made definitely good check for sure. And but no, just what we've seen over the last year and a half, I would say, is he's getting into contention, chances to win at time after time after time after time. And, you know, like Webb Simpson birdied last three holes essentially on him at Waste Management for him not to win there. So it's, you know, or you go down the side of is it like a Greg Norman deal where sometimes he chokes and sometimes the guy just gets hot on him. But we've seen a common trend to where he's only got one win, which is the Puerto Rico Open, which has been the kiss of death. Right. Essentially like my one and done picks.
And again, that's probably a field strength of, I don't know, we said that Colin Morikawa's Barracuda win was 26. I would guess the Puerto Rico is somewhat comparable, a little more maybe, 40 strength of field, something like that. So, you know, but here's the stat. So most top 10s without a win on the PGA Tour since the 2016-2017 season. Tony Finau, after yesterday, now has 30 top 10s in that span without a win. Second place on that list is Tommy Fleetwood at 16. So Tony Finau has almost double as many top 10s without a win as anyone else on the PGA Tour. Kevin Streelman and Ben Ahn each at 15 top 10s over the last 3.5 seasons without a win. It's just... He's so talented. Like we see yesterday on the par 5 12th, Michael Thompson hits driver, ball speed 166. Tony Finau hits iron, ball speed 166. And it's just, you know, on 13 yesterday, he had the putt from 5 feet that was just one of the absolute worst 5-footers you will ever see a tour pro hit. I mean, it was, do you remember at Muirfield, what was it? I can't remember if it was in the Workday or the Memorial. Sergio hit that putt on 8 that was just like,
oh, of course,
100 feet outside going, the left.
I was so shocked they didn't mention anything about it in the telecast, and now it's been going around as a meme on social media, which is fantastic. Like, it should. I mean, it was one of the most atrocious things I've seen, and Finau's was, while it wasn't necessarily that bad, it was fairly comparable.
It was a minor version of that. He basically, I mean, he took a dead straight 5-footer, and he started it like 5-6 inches outside the left, and it never even sniffed the hole. It was a really bad putt. Whenever I play with my buddies now, anytime somebody misreads a putt by 3 or 4 feet, we say, nice read, Sergio, and kind of move on with the round. But I don't know what it is about Tony Finau. The scoring average first 3 days coming into this week, I don't know what it's updated to now after yesterday, but scoring average the first 3 days, he's top 25 on the tour on Thursday, Friday, Saturday in scoring average. He's 170th on Sunday. So the game is there. The confidence hasn't caught up yet.
That's a clear indicator right there that something on Sunday is not going right. And whether it be what he does after the round, whether it be what he does before the round, because that's one of the things, even for myself, is that if I have a late tee time, I always like to sleep in later, because then I just hate sitting around and waiting for the time, because I picture the round in my head. And what that does is it just overworks my brain. So then when I actually get out there on the course, you're too exhausted mentally to be able to focus. So I like to, you know, not have as much time. So
when we played the Valley down at Bushwood over July 4th weekend, I mean, we both had 2 o'clock in the afternoon tee times. What time would you wake up? those days for a 2 o'clock. I
would try to get in at 11 sometimes, but I'd have to wake up earlier than that. You know, or I just naturally would. So
I tried to make it till at least 10 every day. I tried to sleep till at least 10 every day, so I didn't have like 6 hours to kill.
Yeah,
before my tea.
Because you're just sitting there, and it's like, do you watch a movie? Do you, you know, do you stretch and then you get tight again? So I don't know what Phenom's pre-round routine is. Is he getting up early, working out, stretch, whatever it is? He may need to do some sort of evaluation there. But I mean, that's just a clear-cut indicator, Colby, with that stat that you mentioned there. And I pulled up his win. It was 2016 Puerto Rico Open. Strength of field was 37.
37.
So that
I mean, that's his one, and that's his one win.
That's his one win.
It's just, I don't know. It doesn't make a ton of sense. I want Tony Finau to win. Yesterday I was rooting for the Oklahoma State guys, and then Tony Finau was who I was rooting for next. And then, you know, if Longer Thompson wins, that's great. Good for those guys. Good golf. But it's so hard to root for Tony Finau on Sundays because it's almost like you're punishing yourself. Like you want to be miserable. If you're rooting for Tony Finau, if you bet Tony Finau to win a golf tournament on a Tuesday or Wednesday, it's almost like you want to be miserable. Because you just know that on Sunday it's going to go wrong. It's tough, man. And I hate it for Tony. And the longer he goes without a win, the more he hears it, the more he feels it. Same thing with Ricky and the major. Sergio forever with the major. Phil before that with the major. But we're not even talking about a major here. We're just talking about a tour win. The longer he hears it, the worse it gets. So his game's in good shape. Hopefully, before the end of this PGA Tour season, Tony Finau is hoisting another trophy, because with all the talent that he has, if the confidence catches up on Sunday and he starts winning, it might open the floodgates where we could see a guy who wins once or twice a year on the tour.
I agree, and I think he definitely, you just alluded to it there, he has the talent, and he's, depending on how you look at it, his age is 30, so he could be considered, he's not a young gun by any stretch, he's not a Morikawa, Wolf, or Hovland, but he still is fairly young compared to a lot of guys out there. They did mention the stat. 30, exactly 30.
Okay.
Birthday in September, so it'll be 31, September 14th. I got his birthday right here. So, nevertheless, they mentioned on the one of the telecasts that Tiger was the only person over 40, and we actually talked about that in one of our podcasts too, the only player over 40 to have won within the last calendar year. So, it's definitely turning more into a young man's game than it was even a few years ago. So, I think that Finau needs to be able to get over this hump sooner rather than later, because just like you said, the more that it piles up on him, it's just a weight on his shoulders and a monkey on his back that he's got to just keep piling up, and he's going to keep hearing it, and it won't be good for his mental state. I mean, you can't obviously see that, but I can't see any way how it'd be beneficial. But if he is able to get over the hump, he's going through all these hurdles, and if he can just, like you said, just get the floodgates open, it's just a dam right now, and then it's just got a huge crack in, and as soon as it comes out, I mean, I think it's just going to flood and maybe even see some major championships out of it, because he has a game similar to like Koepka and DJ, where these guys can just bomb and take advantage of his high ball speed, like we mentioned earlier. You know,
just overpower a golf course.
Exactly, yeah. Take, you know, all these courses that they're making longer and even more advantage to hit in the fairway or have wedges out of the rough, whatever it may be. So he definitely has that talent, but he's got to get it figured out on Sunday, bottom line, if he wants to get to where he needs to be.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Why don't we take a quick break? We'll come back on the other side and talk about Max McGreevy and the performance that he put on Sunday. Bookend 64s for McGreevy on the Corn Ferry Tour. Local kid, Edmond, born and raised, went to University of Oklahoma, was a senior on the national championship team in 2017. So really cool to see him get it done. We'll talk about some of the friends of the show as well, and then we will recap what was just one of the most god-awful picks that you and I made last week, maybe of all time. So we'll give you all that and more coming up next. Stay with us here on the 73rd hole.
When something the size of a golf ball hits your roof, you need to call McRae Roofing. McRae Roofing is Oklahoma's designer roofing service specialist. For years, Jeff McRae and the experienced team at McRae Roofing and Exteriors have served fellow Oklahomans by helping them with their roofing needs. McRae Roofing uses only top quality materials and professional crews to make sure that each job is done right, so it will give you the years of service, security, and protection you need from the unpredictable Oklahoma weather. McRae Roofing offers residential and commercial roofing, ventilation services, and custom copper designs. McRae Roofing is dedicated to exceeding the homeowner's expectations. It's not just a roof, it is your home's crowning glory. Call McRae Roofing today at 405-692-4000. That's 405-692-4000. Make sure to also visit their website at mcraeroofing.com. That's McRae Roofing.com. Don't get caught with a leaking roof. Contact McRae Roofing for your free inspection today.
Welcome back. Rolling along here on the 73rd hole, Colby Powell and Taylor Williams. Taylor, how was the junior camp this morning, taking place down at Bushwood in Chickasha? Have a bunch of kids come out?
A junior camp, we had a really great turnout. It was excellent. Actually, we had had a lot of local kids. Some of the guys that some of the people we went to high school with, their kids are in the junior camp, which is pretty awesome to
see.
Pretty
cool, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. One of the girls actually came all the way from Texas. And I believe she's with family or something like that. But yet, you know, we have long distance people coming to play. So we had people come from all over, and it was great. A lot of really good, talented kids too. People that, kids that I think have a future in this game, whether it be if they want to try to play collegiately or just high school, have fun, whatever it may be. And it's awesome too. And a lot of them had the excitement, which is what you want to see. And with it being as hot as it is for them, I mean, they were out there wanting to hit as many balls as they possibly could. And that was good to see. You know, most of the time you can see at junior camps, kids want to sit off to the side and you know, stay in the shade and cool off, that type of thing. But these kids were eager and wanting to learn it. It was really exciting for me to see.
Yeah, what's the age group of the kids?
I believe the age ranges from 6 to 14.
Okay.
So we got them divided into two different groups. The younger kids will go to one kid will go to another. We have a short game side and then a long game side type thing, and working on starting with the fundamentals first day and then kind of advancing it up. And then on Friday, they'll have a type of mini tournament type thing to kind of see, you know, how far along they've come. So it's going to be really exciting, and it's something that I'm looking forward to. It's just great to see, because, you know, 73rd hole, we're all about growing the game, and to see the young kids out there getting after it just warms my heart. It truly does.
Yeah, I always remember the junior camps, the last day you get to play like little three hole deal or whatever and see who wins at the junior camp. Those were always fun. So that'll be a lot of fun for those kids.
Well, fun fact too, and this, you know, junior camps can be more impactful because this is where you and me met.
It was at
a junior golf camp.
Yeah, it is.
So, I mean,
like fifth grade, maybe?
After fifth grade, yeah.
Yeah.
Right after that.
Gosh, you were so annoying because you were so good and nobody else was good.
Well, hey, we had that little trash can.
Hit the trash can.
So they're about 50 yards out on the driving range. They put a little trash bin, a 5-gallon trash can or whatever, and Colby was the only one to fly it in the trash can. So don't act like that he wasn't a good player at the camp.
I probably bladed the piss out of it, hit the back.
but you bragged about it at least. So, and we remember
still bragging about it. Here it is, 2020.
Exactly.
Still relevant.
So junior camps can be great because not only can you learn something about golf, but you meet excellent people like we did. So.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. And then maybe one day these kids will grow up and have a podcast and they can give people bad picks, like Lucas Glover, for example, which I rostered Lucas Glover last week in everything. I was 2-1 in Dumbles, podcast and season long, Lucas Glover. DraftKings, Lucas Glover. You know, I wager a little coin every week on golf. Lucas Glover. And who finishes nearly DFL? Lucas Glover. He'd been so consistent since the restart, and then he gets on an easy golf course, and all he can make is bogeys and doubles. Might have had a quad in there somewhere. I don't know. It was bad.
It was rough, and we knew from the start he had such a bad first day. I think he shot 2 over, and then after that, it may have even been worse than that. But kind of knew early that he was out of it. And, I mean, we it's so funny because he was our pick, but yet we still called it because it was the kiss of death. We knew that's what was going to happen, and it's almost like we know that when that happens, when everyone's on one guy, we have to abort mission, and we never do.
Well, and I texted you last week because we recorded on Tuesday. Wednesday, I watched Morning Drive, and Robert Dameron and Paige McKenzie both had Lucas Glover as their winner this week, and I'm like, this is a bad situation we've gotten ourselves into.
No, we weren't the only ones that had Glover. There's no doubt about it. He was a very popular pick amongst a lot of people, whether it be betting, DraftKings, just any whatever it may be. And just because, like you mentioned, he had played so well since the restart and looked like, I mean, he had been a great ball striker for so long, and if he just get that putter rolling, it's good. But he was definitely off this week. It was hard to watch, and it just had to be the kiss of death. That's the only explanation for it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Here we're actually recording this, so it's Monday afternoon, so we've got the Golf Channel replay on behind us. So whenever Tony Finau's 5-footer comes up on 13, I'm going to let you know because I'm looking at the TV. So you all can get Taylor's reaction as he sees it for the first time because he missed it yesterday. It's pretty impressive. pretty impressive where this putt winds up. So some of the other guys this week, let's look at the Oklahoma State guys. Let's go to the top. So T3, couple of OSU guys, Charles Howell III and Alex Noren, both T3 at minus 16. You go down two more strokes to get to the T12s. That's where you find Matt Wolf, who was the defending champion. One more stroke down at T18, Taylor Gooch, 72-68 on the weekend. I know the Saturday round wasn't what he wanted, the one over on Saturday, but still really solid top 20 finish for Taylor Gooch. The only Oklahoma State Cowboy that I felt bad for was Bo Van Pelt. Bo Van Pelt opened 66-68, has a very late tee time on Saturday, proceeds to finish in solo 65th after dual 76s on the weekend for Bo Van Pelt. So two good rounds, two bad rounds for Bo Van Pelt, but he showed a little bit of life for the first time. So it was good for the local guys. And then, Taylor, we mentioned it before the break, huge, huge congratulations to the local guy, Max McGreevy, with his first win on the Korn Ferry Tour. He bookends a couple of 64s with a 68 and 71 in the middle there. But a Thursday 64 and a Sunday 64, that is some pretty good golf as he came from, I believe it was five back, is where he started the day on Sunday, shoots a Sunday 64 and gets his first career win on the Korn Ferry Tour. And for guys on that tour who are fighting for their golfing careers and to have jobs each and every week, this is a life-changing deal for Max McGreevy. First four-round event that he's ever won. Spent a lot of time in China over the last couple of years playing over there. A little bit of time on the McKenzie Tour as well. So I was refreshing the leaderboard about every 5 minutes yesterday as I was up here. My wife and I went out and hit some balls yesterday, and I was constantly refreshing the leaderboard, trying to see if he was going to close it out. He gets it done, gets a one-shot win. So could not possibly be happier for Max. I know I caddied for you when you played with his dad, Brian McGreevy. In a tournament, made 18 pars. I worked with Brian for a little while. He was a salesperson at Tyler Media when I was with the franchise. So great family. Max is a great guy. Could not possibly be happier for him to get his first win on the Korn Ferry Tour.
No, Max is a great guy. Known him for a little bit, and he's a phenomenal player as well. Went to Edmond Santa Fe, local school right down the street. Went and played for fabulous coach Ryan Hibble at OU and had a really great college career as well. And with this win, he moved up from 40th in the Korn Ferry rankings all the way up to 8th. So that's definitely gets him a lot closer to that top 25, like we know he needs to be.
Now, it's weird this year because of COVID.
I'm not sure
how it works.
It's gonna. We had Taylor Moore on, and he kind of described it to us.
But it's still confusing.
Yeah, it was almost like a computer algorithm that we have to figure out
and to determine who gets temporary status and what are you gonna be bouncing back and forth from Korn Ferry to PGA. Maybe that's what Max ends up doing. Don't know. Probably depends on how the rest of the season goes. But 40th to 8th is a big jump.
Big jump. Really great for him. And we just mentioned Taylor Moore. He had a top 5 as well. So that was able to move him up from 56th in the rankings up to 35th. So he's getting a lot closer to that 25 mark as well. And like I said, we're the biggest fans for these guys here. And we hope that they're able to break it through, along with some of the other local guys that have been playing well as well. Charlie Saxon made the cut at this last week as well in the Korn Ferry. Micah Gellerman made the cut on the PGA Tour in the Korn Ferry pick we gave out. He was 6,000 on DraftKings and got you into the weekend, so he was definitely a bargain there. So yeah, it's really great to see some of these local guys, and you just mentioned all the OSU guys that were up there. It's really good, and for us in our type of show, I think that's kind of what sticks out the most is how good of a week it was for all of the people that have Oklahoma ties.
Yeah, and we want to see those guys do well, and a few of those have come on with us. Reen Gibson, Mr. 55 came on with us. Taylor Gooch, Taylor Moore has joined us, and we loved having those guys on the show, and we just want them to have all the success in the world. So really cool to see for Max. He was a little bit emotional, the hug with his caddy, the picture that the Korn Ferry Tour tweeted out with his hat off, kind of, hitting him that's his first win at that level. Because even over in China, he didn't win over in China, but he talked about yesterday, if you want to watch his post-round interview, the Korn Ferry Tour, just go find it on Twitter, and they posted, I think it was nearly a 12-minute post-round interview that Max did after his first win, and he attributed his comfortability on Sunday to the amount of times that he was in or near the final group in China, and that even though he didn't win those events, that experience, there's just no substitute for that experience of being in contention late on a Sunday. And obviously the China Tour is not the caliber of the Korn Ferry, but it's the same feeling. You're in contention on a Sunday with a chance to win a golf tournament. And he attributed a lot of the stuff that he went through in China, the close calls that he had to winning tournaments over there, to getting him in a position where he was able to finish yesterday in Springfield.
Yeah, and we've seen a common trend here between a lot of the guests that we've had on, because as we saw yesterday with McGreevy, shot 5-under on the back nine, which is just stellar, able to go out to get to 21-under overall. Some of our other guests like Rian Gibson and Jim Woodward had made similar comments as well, to just get out there and get the experience and get into contention and get those nerves going, get the influence. That's one of the things that we did at the junior camp today. What I did was, when we were hitting the balls, I did something that we did on our college golf team, where we had a little contest where one kid would hit and everyone else would stand behind and watch them hit. And so all the pressure is on them. And so afterwards, after everyone hit, it was just a straightest to the pin contest. And so afterwards, I asked the kids, I said, were any of y'all nervous when we did that? And 3/4 of the kids said my legs were shaking and my hands were shaking. And
everyone's
watching them. Yeah. And so you just have to find ways to be able to recreate it. But whenever you get to that level and that high competition, there is no other way to do it than to just do it at each stage. And you very 0.0001% can skip this level, can skip that, the Hovlands, Morikawas, whatever, you know, because they're doing it so good, well, at the collegiate level, and then get out there. But for 99.99% of these guys, you have to do it in stages. And he's worked his ass off to be able to get to the point to where he was. And it's just phenomenal to see all these great players from the state of Oklahoma, Oklahoma ties, be able to get this success. And I'm really excited for him and his family. Because like you mentioned, I met Brian whenever he played with him at the, I believe it was state amateur qualifying, and he made 18 pars.
It was, yeah, that's Max's dad, who's Max's dad, really good yeah. guy. 18 pars. Craziest thing I've ever seen. Just kept making par. It's like he'd have an 8-footer for birdie and he'd miss it, and then he'd have a 30-footer for par and he'd can it, and everything went exactly right for him to make 18 pars that day. And Brian's still a hell of a player. He and I are both members out at the Greens, and usually they for the MGA events we play, the lowest handicap guys go off first at like 7:30, and then they work their way back. So I've usually got like an 8:20 tee time, and I always see on the tee sheet Brian McGreevy's always in that first group out at like 7:26, 7:32, whatever time that first group's out. So he's a hell of a player in his own right still to this day. And you mentioned the experience getting in that position on the Korn Ferry. Very young guy, Brandon Wu, fresh out of Stanford, takes a 3-shot lead into the final round, shoots 74 on Sunday and finishes T9. It's incredibly disappointing for Brandon Wu, but that's one of those things that you just have to experience that. You have to experience what it feels like to sleep on a 3-shot lead, go out and shoot 74 on Sunday and barely top 10. Those are the experiences that are priceless, and that until you've been there, you don't know what that feeling is going to be like. You don't know what you're going to feel like going to sleep the night before, waking up the day of, warming up that day on the first tee, that feeling in your legs, that feeling in your hands as you're trying to putt, sleeping on that lead overnight. That experience is invaluable, and Brandon Wu got some of that this week. He's real young guy, and I'm sure he would tell you that he's very disappointed with his T9 finish after taking a 3-shot lead into the final round. But when his time comes and he wins golf tournaments, I think he'll look back on what happened yesterday, blowing that 3-shot lead and ending up finishing, I think he finished 5 shots out of first after taking a 3-shot lead in the final round. I think he'll look back when he wins a tournament and say, you know what? That experience was invaluable. I needed that so that I could learn how to win.
Yeah, you can't replicate that in any type of training, schooling, whatever it may be. You can only do it through the experience. And you just have to realize at this stage, I mean, every shot and every hole counts so much. And just if you have a 3-shot lead, you have 18 more to go. By the time you tee off, you could be 4 back. You know, but you know, someone can get hot out absolutely. There and jump you, and you all of a sudden you tee. I mean, we see it all the time on the PGA Tour, where the leader will be 6 or 7 under, and they played in the morning. Then by the time they tee off in the afternoon on Friday, the lead's 12 or 13 under, and all of a sudden you went from having the lead on Thursday night to waking up before you play, and now you're 5 back.
You're chasing, yeah,
exactly. And it's while you get closer to the finish line on this, you still have to realize that there's just so much golf left, and just like you said, Colby, you can't replicate that feeling and the preparation that you need to learn what is right for you when you have that late tee time and whenever you have that position in the lead, what your course strategy is, whatever it may be, being able to control your nerves on putts. Just because like a player like Max can go out and shoot 64 on you, and even if Brandon Wu would have played halfway decent, he still would have.
He started the day at 18, so I think par was par was 72. So I mean, he would have to shoot 69 to get into a playoff. I mean, yeah. That's good golf.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't just do it for 3 days and then slack off one day. I mean, you got to keep it going for all four rounds. And I think we're starting to see that become a more trend, just because there's so many great players out there.
All right, turn yourself around here. We're gonna watch Tony Finau hit the 5-footer on 13. I want to remind everybody while we wait for him to line it up, give our friends at McRae Roofing a call. 405-692-4000. McRae Roofing is everything that this putt from Tony Finau is not. Reliable, dependable, fantastic. McRaeRoofing.com. Check them out. Here goes Taylor watching this Finau putt for the first time.
Holy moly.
I mean, what is that?
If you talk about pulling a putt, he pulled it about 4 inches, it looked like.
From 5 feet,
yeah. And it looked like it broke past the hole, so it looked like he was trying to ram it in the back, and he just pulled the living hell out of it. Boy, that was not very good. But Sergio's putt was still worse, definitely.
Sergio's putt was way worse. But that was for Finau. After, on number 12 here, he probably had about a 15 to 18 footer for birdie, and he left it a foot short right in the heart. So that's what I'm talking about with Finau on Sunday. It's like, I don't know if it's just the putter. I don't know if maybe he doesn't hit it as close to the hole on Sunday, because we see that huge scoring average dip on Sundays. But it's tough to be a Tony Finau fan come Sundays. What about some of the other big names on the PGA Tour who we didn't get to see play the weekend? Who do we have big name wise miss the cut, Taylor?
It is pretty crazy to see names. Bubba Watson's on a missed cut streak. He shot one under, missed it. Brooks Koepka, who a lot of people liked, was one of the most expensive on DraftKings.
Did you see how many strokes he gained tee to green on Thursday and Friday?
No, I didn't.
In two rounds, he gained 5 strokes tee to green, missed the cut.
So that putter was not on fire.
Putter was ice cold. I knew as of about halfway through his round on Friday, I was watching on PGA Tour Live, and they said that at that point he had already missed, I think, 4 putts in the 3 to 5 foot range.
Wow.
4 putts in the 3 to 5 foot range on greens in Minneapolis that are running an 11 maybe and smooth as glass. That's bad.
You know, this is just from personal experience, but that missing shorter putts is a clear sign, or not a clear sign, but is a heavy indicator of not practicing, in my opinion. And that's what we talk about all the time with Koepka, the love for the game. And all of a sudden, you're not out there banging those 3 to 5 footers in 100 times in a row to make sure that you can make them all the time whenever you don't have that love for it. So that may be what we're seeing here. Going on to some of the other big names that missed the cut, Fleetwood shot +1 in his first tournament back. Eric Van Rooyen was a guy that both of us liked who missed the cut. Paul Casey.
I wagered on Van Rooyen. I actually do another golf pool every week. I mentioned I rostered Lucas Glover everywhere. I do a pool where it's $5 a week. Everybody picks one American, one international player, and at the end of the week, whoever has the lowest combined score, and both your guys have to make the cut, takes the pot. Lucas Glover and Eric Van Rooyen for me last week.
Oh, no.
So I didn't have to sweat it on the weekend.
No, you weren't thinking about it at all. And then, obviously, we had the DJ withdrawal, who he was going to miss the cut, but just decided to go ahead and skip the last few holes and say, I'll go ahead and pack it home, go home to Paulina.
Got hot late on Thursday to break 80. Would have been his third straight round in the 80s after back-to-back 80s at Memorial.
And he won
3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago.
On the PGA Tour, and then he can't break 80. Golf is a fickle game. Said he withdrew with a back injury. I think he might have withdrawn with a pride injury, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about it. And, you know, once again, but you know, the local feel, all the local guys was fantastic. Really, the only other thing that I really noticed from this tournament, which I thought was pretty interesting, was the money payout. So we were talking about before the show, Colby, there was a 9-way tie for third in this tournament.
Wow.
So
what's the money dip? Was there a 1 or 2 shot difference from third to T12?
There was a 2 shot difference, which is kind of funny that there's 9 guys at 16 under and no guys at 15 under.
Right.
It's pretty funny. But what's so funny about it is that Adam Long finished solo second. I'm looking at it right here. Got $719,000, and all the guys that finished T3rd got essentially $251,000.
Wow.
So that's 1 stroke difference.
Do you have the dip from T3 to T12 on there in money?
I think it was cut exactly in half. So I think it was the guys that finished T12 were 127. Okay. So cut in half, it's not near as bad. If it had been a bigger purse, you would see a lot bigger discrepancy.
And Adam Long, nearly $500,000 more dollars than the guy's one stroke behind
him. Yeah, I was watching on the last, and Schwartzel had about a 25-footer for birdie on the last to join Long and tied for second. And he's low in the FedEx points, too, so a tied second compared to a tied third with
a nine-way T3.
Yeah, it's a huge difference. And it just lipped out. It was almost a 180. It just caught the left lip. I felt bad for him because I love his hat and his putter.
It probably would have gone in if his shaft was on the front side of his putter.
He tried using front shaft, and there's a reason he's using it. Let's put it that way. He is the putting woes. He's gone through his stuff, and it's crazy to think that he won the 2011. I think it was the 2011 Masters. That's how long ago it was.
Only player to ever birdie 15, 16, 17, 18 on his way to winning at Augusta on Sunday.
That's pretty swag.
The hat yesterday, I'm all in on the hat. Did you see him whenever he lifted it off his head, took it off, hat tip? With the big hat there, the 10-gallon hat or whatever it was he was wearing.
I didn't see the hat, Tim. No, was he bald or did he have a golfer's tan on his head like we see a lot of players have?
Not too bad because he's got the full bucket hat around. You don't get the sun quite as bad whenever you wear that. So really wasn't too bad for old Charles.
I'm not gonna lie, I was on the Amazon and the internet yesterday looking up hats like that because I gotta get me one of them.
You're not gonna wear that when we play the Shock, are you? I don't want you embarrassing me out there at that golf course. Me and Taylor are gonna play a 2-man down in Marlow last weekend in August, and I just can't be associated with such a thing.
Well, you'll just have to get over it because it's just such a luxurious crowd out there anyway.
That's a really good point.
You know, so it's
high society.
Yeah, it's the definition of a golf party, to say the least. 100%. And that's what makes it so much fun.
I guess if you have to put up with my golf for 2 days, I can put up with your hat for 2 days.
That's fair trade-off.
Yeah, fair trade-off. Absolutely. So, did we miss anything here? I'm really looking forward to this week, previewing the WGC FedEx Cup, WGC FedEx, not FedEx Cup, the WG FedEx Championship? What do they call it?
Yeah, we'll get the, I'll look at the official name one
Invitational?
Second. Yeah, something like that. FedEx St. Jude Invitational. Exactly.
Yes, St. Jude, right. Because it's in Memphis, which is where St. Jude's headquartered, which is why they moved it from Firestone to Memphis because, was it TPC Southwind?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Koepka defending?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gaining strokes on the field, can't get the ball in the hole.
He's got to figure something out with the putter. Just go back on some of the other storylines. I want to really focalize on put the focus in on the local guys and how great it was to see a lot of them succeed, and really looking forward to the next couple of weeks for a lot of these guys seeing where they can go from here. And then to wrap it all up, Michael Thompson to get that win. We saw how emotional he was at the end for him and his family. It's just fantastic. And, you know, it's something that we kind of prognosticated, just someone who might just come out of the blue and win this tournament just because it wasn't very big, because the biggest guys, DJ and Koepka on DraftKings, they did not play the weekend. So people kind of came out of nowhere, and you're starting to see more of a trend. But congrats to all the local guys and Michael Thompson. Just fabulous for all of them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, that's Taylor Williams. I am Colby Pell. Oh, yeah, the night golf scramble Friday night at Bushwood. So it was a lot of fun. It was myself, my wife, my sister, and my brother-in-law. So her husband played. He's played in high school. He's 6'4", can hit a long way. Pretty good player. We shot 9-under. The four of us in the scramble. There were no mulligans, no string, no gimmicks, nothing like that. There were two groups on every hole, so nobody cheated. We got third place out of 18 teams, and it was good stuff. I think the girls made several putts for us, a couple of 20-plus footers they made. We took just about every single one of David, that's my brother-in-law. We took most of our full shots just because we're able to hit it quite a bit further than the girls. But everybody played well and had a blast. The night golf was fun. It was, I don't think we finished till like 1 in the morning, but everybody was having a blast, music playing. Everybody had the headlights on the car. It's out driving around, just having a good old time. A couple people had their dogs out. So it was a great time. If they had another one, I would be all in on the night golf scramble. It was a blast.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as you saw, it filled up within the first how many ever days that they had it out. So it was definitely a hot commodity that people wanted to get into. And just like you said, the turnout was fantastic. And it's really great to see where Max is taking the course, you know, for the junior camp this week. And with night golfing, with how the Ouachita Valley ran, everything is just going fantastic. And it's really great to see. And it's great to see that you and your family had a really great time too, but just barely missed out on the cash.
Yeah, the course is flourishing. And Tuesday night scrambles. Do you know they're doing a Thursday night horse race now?
I saw where they did. I didn't know if it was a reoccurring thing, but yes, I did see that they were having us. So that's really cool too for anyone that wants to go get in on that.
Yeah. So get on down there. 405-224-1250. Head that way. A little rainy this week, but get you some golf in down at Bushwood Golf and Country Club in Chickasha. Also, if you want to hang out at the pool, one of our old friends from high school, Eric Hernandez, gave me a call Friday night. He's like, "You planning this golf tournament out here?" They'd rented the pool out for his nephew's birthday party. So you can do that as well. Pool, great time, diving board, lifeguard, the works. So head on down to Bushwood. You're going to have a good time. We absolutely guarantee it. Thanks for listening, everyone, to the 73rd hole FedEx preview tomorrow morning. Get ready for that. We're going to give you some actual winners this week at the World Golf Championship. And I promise 100% we will not give you golfers that don't make the cut. That's tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the 73rd hole.